Welcome to Backdoor Cover. I'm Ross Bolin, here with Super Bowl champion Dan Regester.
That doesn't even sound right, Ross. This is all a dream.
Hasn't sunk in?
No. I'm going to murder the man that wakes me up, though, if this is a dream.
Yeah. Good Khal Drogo quote.
Nice.
And Micah is the only other person here. Dylan's still in Minnesota.
Must be nice.
Must be nice. But obviously, the big thing we're going to talk about today is the fact that the Eagles really did it.
We did it. I did it.
You
got
did
a lot
it.
Of congratulatory texts, messages.
You and Foles really did it.
I played a big part, obviously.
I mean, you got to take your due credit.
I think so. Like, me and Foles are co-MVP.
I don't think I've ever rooted as hard against a team as I rooted against the Patriots yesterday. And I can't really explain that.
Well, we also had some financial.
Well, that too. But it wasn't just because of the bets. Like, yes, I bet on the Eagles. But I truly hate the Patriots. And it's not something I can explain in a way that validates my hate.
I think it exponentially went up this past week, too, when we saw the Tom Brady
kiss. No, that was a big part of it. I mean, I don't know why. I hate that guy. And I hate his team. And I hate the owner. And I hate the coach. And I hate their goddamn fan base. And watching them lose to Nick Foles was one of the more gratifying things. It was like, on the scale of how happy I was when this game ended, I would put it with like one of my teams winning an important playoff game. Like, that's about the level of gratification I got from it. I was like fist pumping on my couch and yelling and shit, which is not, that makes no sense. I'm not from Philly. I'm not an Eagles fan. I don't give a fuck about the Eagles, frankly. I'm happy for you, but
you wanted this.
It was
for us.
Mostly.
No, it was because you hate the Patriots.
Because I hate the fucking Pats.
I think that was 90% of America.
I hope so, but I mean, and this is part of the reason. I don't want to spend too much time on the negative side of this, but here's an example why I hate the Patriots and their people. I mean, I was tweeting some shit, like talking some shit on the internet, you know, about Brady, making jokes about him making out with his kid and his dad and just their whole weird family. And Patriots fans were coming at me once the game was over and they had lost because they don't know how to handle
defeat,
losing a championship. They don't know. These are shit people. If you've won, like, how many Super Bowls have they won this decade?
Five.
And you're still looking through. These aren't people who follow me. These are people searching Twitter for Tom Brady jokes that they don't like and then going at the people who tweeted them.
They're mad online.
Those are just sad people. You've won five Super Bowls in the last 10 years. What the fuck is wrong with you? Just go to sleep. This is like a, who cares?
I liked whoever the graphic guy was when they
that was good.
The press conference, Bill Belichick, 3-time Super Bowl loser.
Yeah. No, I mean, this was, for some reason, this game, as it was unfold, like, there was no defense for some reason.
Yeah, no, Nick Foles actually won this game by himself.
It took away a lot of the stress of it. Like, it was just this enjoyable offensive. Well, for me, obviously, it's different watching.
Yeah, it was weird. Going into the game, you're like, I don't know what to expect from Foles. He could be the quarterback that was against Minnesota, or he could be the quarterback that showed up against Oakland. Like, really had no barometer. Like, so we had to get, we started him out hot. He completes his first few passes. It was a good sign. I'm like, oh, this dude's, like, just throwing fucking dimes.
He was locked in, man.
Yeah, he's fitting balls into, like, keyholes.
The biggest takeaway from this, other than Nick Foles obviously being legit and securing another 8 years of very high dollar paychecks.
And like Philadelphia, just legacy that will never be surpassed because he's the first guy to get it done.
Right.
This is the championship
for
Philadelphia.
Dude, when your quarterback goes down, your season is supposed to be over.
Yeah.
And you guys won the Super Bowl with Nick Foles. That's an incredible feat.
Like, MVP Super Bowl. MVP Nick Foles.
Backup quarterback Nick. You know who the real MVP of this game was, though?
Joel Embiid?
No, Doug Peterson.
It is Doug Peterson. I have to take back every negative word I've ever said about Doug Peterson.
It was flawlessly coached game.
He is an incredible coach. that call at the end of the half to go for it on fourth down instead of kicking the field goal.
I about shit my pants.
You had to do that, though, because you know Brady and Belichick were going to come out in the third quarter.
That's what the Atlanta Falcons failed to do.
It's what Jacksonville failed to do 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago.
Peterson was like, I'm not going down like that. Fuck that.
He's like, I need seven.
And then he just happened to have the most beautiful play drawn up that I've ever seen.
Pretty much trolling Brady and the Patriots for doing the exact same play.
Well, the beauty of it is that obviously you don't call a play just to troll the other team in the Super Bowl. But the beauty of it is that perhaps the play the Patriots ran reminded Peterson, like, well, we've got this fucking thing in our back pocket. Yeah. Like, then he was like, well, we might as well go for it now. And it's also like, you have to respect a coach who, the truth of it is, if it works, he's a hero. If it doesn't, he gets fried. Even if it's not actually something he should be fried for, that's what the media does, that's what people do. We fry coaches when things don't work out. To have the nutsack to actually call that play, I was just like, God damn. And then there was a couple other plays in the game where I was just like, God damn, this dude.
It's a nice luxury to have a former collegiate quarterback as your third string tight end.
Burton. No shit.
Yeah.
But Peterson, I didn't really know much about him before this game.
Big old balls on him to go for it on fourth down in his own territory with like 6 minutes left.
Psycho move.
Had to, though. Dude, we couldn't stop Brady.
This was not a well commentated on game. The guys in the booth didn't do a very good job.
Oh, Collinsworth whiffed on quite a few calls.
I thought it was maybe the worst Super Bowl commentator performance I've ever heard. In fact, it was the worst. Like, that fourth down was one of the moments where I was like, how are they not making a bigger deal out of what just occurred?
Also,
these dudes just went for it on fourth down in their own territory and pulled it off, and no one did enough. They didn't do a good job of giving gravity to the situation.
Right. And I still don't know what a catch is.
Obviously, that was the biggest thing to take away. The amount of time spent reviewing that play.
Which one?
The one that won the game.
Okay, the Ertz catch.
Catching it.
Like, it was very clear. Sure. Like, he took multiple steps. He established himself
became
as a
runner.
But when he stretches out and it pops up, he catches the ball again, but...
But it did touch the
ground.
It
hits the
ground. Technically. But he still had full control of it when it touched the ground.
Right. I immediately tweet out, though, oh, no.
Like, dude, I'm not kidding.
Third and seven, like...
If that...
The difference between a touchdown and fourth and seven is just astronomical.
If that had been overturned, I wouldn't... I don't know if I ever would have watched an NFL game again, though, until they, clarify. Because it's... That would have ruined what was already an awful season.
Yeah.
It was. It was a terrible fucking season. Great Super Bowl.
I feel like, you know, Goodell had to, like... He was on the line when they were reviewing it.
He was...
They're like, no, you got to call this a touchdown. Like,
you would think so, because there was a lot of things... I mean, they've got so much bad precedent with these catch calls now. You never know what you're going to get when they go under the fucking hood. Or I guess you don't go under the hood anymore. You just stand there and they hold a Microsoft Surface.
The tablet that nobody buys or owns.
Apparently somebody. The only place it's used is in the NFL.
And then the Corey Clement play as well. He gets the foot down. He gets 2 feet in, but he's bobbling the ball. And then he tries to get that other foot down.
Now that one
re-gets possession and he drags the toe, but it's really close.
I don't know. Yeah, the part where he may have lost possession, it was like still, it barely fucking moved.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, the fact that we're having to put it in super slow mo, the whole thing. I'm glad that it stayed, but I was shocked stood.
Yeah.
I was shocked. Like, I was like, holy fuck, because that's every time you've seen that. If there's movement on the ball, they've overturned it, which is a terrible rule, but it is the rule. So, I don't know what a catch is either. Nobody does. Twitter was so fun during this thing.
I was live tweeting because I was at a bar with no other Eagles fans.
Wow. How did you end up in this situation?
It's a long story, but I went to East Austin. It was a decent
Didn't
setup.
Didn't we tell you not to do that?
It was a decent setup, like at a booth right in front of this giant projection screen, and like it was good viewership, but like the crowd that I was with, and just the atmosphere was very
Nobody's going to be able to match your intensity. It's your team.
Right. The entire time, I was the only one, like, yelling and clapping at the screen. When we won, I was on the verge of tears, and everybody else was just like, eh, whatever.
Okay, but just there's no one else to blame here but you.
No, I get that.
We talked through this whole scenario last week.
I have no one to blame but myself.
A Philly bar or at home.
I should have went back to Philly.
Yeah, but let's talk about the reaction in Philly. Let's talk about what's happening.
I should be in those videos.
It is a very interesting thing to me that human beings, when faced with the amount of joy that a championship brings, especially a first championship like what's happening in Philly right now, when faced with that amount of happiness, we don't know what to do, so we just destroy things.
Flip cars.
We flip over cars. We light things on fire. We eat human feces. We propose to women drinking 40s in the street.
That's just love right there.
But what I'm...
That's a moment you'll never forget.
Okay,
your girl's drinking a 40. You get down on one knee.
She just says yes.
In the middle of Broad Street.
Good God. But here's the thing. I get that it would have felt great, probably. Like last night, to be there. I mean, you would have just blacked out and gone crazy.
Yeah, my sister went downtown.
I just don't know how worth it that trip. Because I went through the same conundrum with the Astros in the World Series. I was like, man, I feel like I should go home for this. But I'm glad I didn't at the end of the day. I got to like fully soak in every single fucking second of what happened.
I feel like the opposite. I feel like I didn't get to... I was robbed of the experience because I was with people who just didn't care or understood the gravity of the situation. Especially my girlfriend. She's from Oregon, so she doesn't really know
sports.
Yeah. So, like, being with people that care as much as you do and your family and your friends, I feel like that's what makes the experience worthwhile.
It definitely, that's a big part of it, for sure. No, I mean, I'm just saying, I see both sides to it. Like, I feel like I'm just trying to make this about the Astros winning the World Series. And I guess I kind of am with everything in my life. But
I missed out on a rare opportunity. My dad giving me a hug.
Yeah, that's the really tough part.
Yeah.
You could have got a hug from the waterman, and you didn't.
Nope.
And that was probably it. That was your last opportunity.
Who knows how many more shots we have at a Super Bowl where we'll be in the same town. So
I do love these Philly people, man. They're fucking crazy. Like the videos... Usually these things are very exaggerated and people act like Philly's, like, you know what I mean? But they're legit crazy people.
People were going nuts at halftime.
Y'all have psycho fans and I love it.
How about the video of the guy doing a trust fall into the crowd?
What? Like, dude, did you see the guy riding the stoplight like a bull?
Yeah.
He fucking crawled out in the middle of the street on top of the light and he starts bouncing up and down. Everybody in America watching that video knows what's about to happen, well, except that guy for some reason.
I saw that exact same situation go down in 2008 Phillies World Series, and that guy fell, probably died.
Gone.
He's probably at least not the same person.
Yeah, that was... I mean, it's an impressive amount of irresponsibility that these Philly people have. Only three people got arrested. Again,
it's disappointing that three got arrested.
That's just the police being like, please stop. If it was any other day, we'd arrest the shit out of you. I did see some videos of cops like celebrating with people.
Yeah.
Which was hysterical, especially like in the, you know, current political climate where people are scared of the police because they shoot you. It was hysterical to see a cop like psyched and people kind of hesitantly like high-fiving the police and shit. Like you could just tell there was still like this little bit of tension there. But anyway, it was... By and large, an impressive celebration by the city of Philadelphia.
I mean, the entire night was just incredible. We started out, Dreams and Nightmares, Meek Mill.
Dude, that was cool. The videos of the team celebrating in the locker room all singing Meek Mill is crazy.
Just the juxtaposition between like the Eagles coming out to Meek Mill and then like the fucking Patriots coming out to Ozzy Osbourne. Just crazy train.
I fucking hate the Patriots, dude. It's like the Empire in Star Wars or like the old world order of just like boring ass old white guys. Like they remind me of like the United States government of football teams where you're just like, God damn, are you fucking kidding me? Like, these people need another W? Really? So I'm glad they fucking lost. And I'm sorry, if you're a Pats fan, that's just part, it comes with the territory of a dynasty, of winning five Super Bowls, of having possibly the greatest quarterback and coach combination and individually of all time. That's what comes with this shit. If you can't handle that, then you're a pussy. Like, that's, if you can't handle the hate, what the fuck are you doing?
And they went from the potential of being a six-time Super Bowl champion to maybe some guys aren't coming back.
Yeah, it'll be really interesting to see what unfolds here. I saw like a Gronk quote even where he was like,
people were asking him if he's going to retire.
He said he was going to take the next few weeks to think about it.
He's what, 28?
I got to say,
he's been through a lot.
If
though.
I'm Gronk, his body I'm is very seriously considering walking away.
I would. You're already the greatest tight end of all time.
He will already get,
you have rings,
an incredible broadcasting deal somewhere.
Yeah, I think you just get a TV show, right? You could, you probably make more money being Gronk.
Well, he could do that too. But I'm saying, if you wanted to remain working in the sports world, I don't. Gronk couldn't hold down a commentator job. He's too crazy. But he could do like a segment. You know what I mean?
You don't think he could be like a Charles Barkley type for the NFL?
Maybe, but that's a special circumstance inside the NBA. That shouldn't work.
Sorry to interrupt you here. No way he pulls off the Chuck roll. He could pull off the Kevin Garnett roll. Where
that's
they
what
just,
I'm thinking of. Area 51.
They toss
51.
To him. Like,
yeah.
Area 69 would definitely be what it would
there
call.
There you go.
Because that's
go.
Gronk's favorite number.
And I don't
just
know if
him and his
ESPN
brothers like jumping up and down to techno music.
Well, because it's that's what they with Garnett, and this is what they did. They were like, all right, Kevin Garnett would be fantastic, but he's just a little bit too hood. That's what happened. That's what those executives said. I guarantee fucking it. They were like, all right, so let's just give him a segment where he can get guys like him. And they just are, like, dangerous in this room together.
Right, but the best, like, Kevin Garnett segment is when it was, like, uncensored and they filmed it off air.
And then they put it on Instagram.
And they put it on Instagram.
Well, and that's kind of what they're going for. It's like, just, I want to see 3 minutes of what it's like to watch a game with Kevin Garnett and his homies.
Right, that's pretty much it.
For lack of a better term.
And
I would like to see Gronk preparing for game day after he retires with, like, four of his brothers and his dad. And they're just hammered and listening to EDM. Like, that would be tight. I'd like to see that.
Gronk could just sling some type of, like, nutrition supplement for the rest of his life. And probably make more money than he does now.
He's going to do that.
It'd be the dumbass white techno version of what Kevin Garnett's got going on.
I'm all
TNT.
In on Area 69.
Dude, it is very, very good.
You know what? I may be speaking out of place here, but I'd like to just make an offer. Gronk, if you're listening, Grand X Media would like to host Area 69. We'll videotape it. We'll send it out to the world.
We can't
like
pay
to
you.
Own this.
We got to start on Grand X Labs, though. It's got to be an experimental.
We got to put it in the incubator.
But no, I mean, who doesn't watch Gronk doing that? I mean, the great thing about KG and his, he'll have the most random guests. He had Vernon Maxwell on. He has guys that most of the people watching, they don't know who they are. They're too young. Like, people don't know who Mad Max is. That was. I mean, I know, but most people don't know.
I mean, the thing about last night, though, just reassured everybody, Gronk is the greatest tight end of all time.
He's not guardable.
No.
That was an insane.
I don't know why they just didn't throw it to him every play.
Well, that was the confusing thing. Obviously, he had one catch for like 9 yards in the first half. In the second half, they were like, hey, maybe we should throw the most dominant player on the field the ball.
Well, even in the first half, Brady, like, he was a little off. He was missing Gronk.
He's
he was,
40 fucking years old, man.
Yeah. And then he started to get in a rhythm, and then he tore us apart for like 500 yards.
He has those moments where he shows flashes of young Brady, and his arm is this infallible, beautiful fucking, like, dude, some of the passes he threw last night, even, just incredible. It's weird. We didn't see that with, like, Peyton Manning. When Manning's arm fell apart, it fell apart all the way. He didn't, like, throw, you know.
I feel like he always kind of threw a duck.
A little? But
then
it got bad at the end.
Wounded duck, yeah.
But you see those moments last night where you could tell with Brady, you're like, ooh, that's not a Tom Brady throw. That was like a regular guy throw.
That was like the first quarter, and then all of a sudden it's like, oh yeah, that's Tom Brady. Tom fucking Brady.
But Gronk, dude, the hands he has. I thought that Hail Mary at the end,
people were already like, oh, congrats. I'm like, shut the fuck up. Like, they're still Hail Mary to be, like, and Gronk's in the play.
The most telling video you can find on the internet right now, and the most appropriate response to that, is the footage of Kobe Bryant watching the final play in his home. Have you seen this yet?
No.
It's Kobe is a Philly guy. He's from Philadelphia.
Lower Marion.
Yes.
Shouts.
Watching the game in his house, in the comfort of his home, which is very, that by itself, good move by Kobe, as we discussed. That's the way to do it.
Yeah, don't go to a hipster East Side bar.
Mistake.
Just because they have free beer that your girlfriend pays with her beer credit card.
Big mistake.
Yeah.
So Kobe's got his daughter, who's, I don't know, 4, in his arms. And the ball's in the air, and his wife's, like, filming it from behind. And he's like, no, 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 fuck, fuck, no, fuck, no. And then it gets batted down, you know, bounces around or whatever. And you can tell, I mean, he fully believed that this game was still going to overtime. You guys are up 8 points. There's one play left. And Kobe Bryant, one of the greatest competitors in the history of sports, who's won multiple championships, still, as a Philly guy, and knowing Brady and knowing Gronk, was in no way convinced this game was over.
Also, the clock struck 0, and I'm like, it ain't over yet. Like,
right, yeah.
I'm like, wait, I had to let it process for 5 minutes. I'm like, then I started to celebrate. I'm like, oh, the trophy's out.
Kobe dropped a fuck bomb with his like 4-year-old daughter in his arms. And then he gets up and he just kind of starts like speed walking through his house. Like, we did it. We really did it. Like, he can't believe it. And it's such a good video. You got to go watch it, because it's like perfect summary of a fan who's just had his heart ripped out of his ass over and over and over, finally getting that moment.
Because again, like, would it really surprise you if Tom Brady somehow completed that pass and then got the 2-point conversion? Taking it to overtime.
After everything we've seen in the last 2 years, it would have been the least surprising thing ever. It was surprising that it didn't happen.
Right. And I had like this little wild card of a prop bet too, where I had Tom Brady throws an interception in the game. So I'm like, holy shit, like, this is the last chance I can collect that $50.
You're pathetic.
Darby.
His Super Bowl on the line. And you're still thinking about the fucking prop bet you made on Brady's interception.
Because it's like the best opportunity to get an interception is when he throws a fucking Hail Mary.
Well, didn't happen.
Darby dropped like 3 interceptions. Oh, Nick Foles had ample time to run for a yard and a half, and he never did.
The only pick that got thrown by Foles shouldn't even have counted as an interception.
Alshon.
It's just bad luck.
Yeah, I don't even blame Alshon for that. He was just...
No, it's just one of those plays where it's nobody's bizarre. Fault. It just happened.
There's a lot of bizarre plays.
It was one of the weirdest Super Bowls I've ever seen.
The powerbomb or / spine buster on Cooks, and then Cooks, a few plays later, getting his like head taken off.
Dude, he got rocked.
It's a completely different game with him in, I think, the second half.
I tweeted about this after that, but it was pretty jarring to show... They showed the hit in like super slow motion from 3 angles. And then they cut to like a super funny commercial about mortgages with the Key and Peele guy.
Yeah.
And it's just like,
this guy might
football
be dead.
Is fucking tough.
Football's fucked
this
up.
This sport is hard to watch in 2018.
Dude, it's a fucked up game.
Malcolm Jenkins was headhunting last night too.
Part of the problem is that our goddamn our cameras are too good now. So everything's in like super HD. It just looks so real. And it is. But that makes it so much worse. Like back in the 90s when we had like, you know, standard definition and somebody would get his head knocked off, you're like, this isn't real. It just feels more real now.
Have you ever like somehow stumbled on a standard definition TV channel recently?
It'll blow your fucking mind. Yeah, well, one of the ones
did we ever like put up with that?
Dude, until like this year, the NBA refused to update NBA League Pass from standard definition. So most of the games you'd get would be like you're watching TV in the 90s.
That's unwatchable.
It was fucking insane. You can't tell who the different players are. You couldn't even make out like somebody's jersey number because it's so fucking pixelated. And then you flip from that to like a modern day game. The difference is insane. But that's a big part to me of what makes those hits so much more brutal now.
Yes,
it's like watching
it's super slow mo. You can just review anything.
Like you ever clicked on, and I know you have. So this is a hype. Or what's it called when you don't want a question to be answered?
Micah? Rhetorical.
Rhetorical question. When you click on a porn video, and it loads up, and then it's 4K, and you're like, this is a little
too much.
It's a little too real.
I don't want to see. Like,
I don't know if I like
the
that
ass acne.
I can see the wrinkles on the crow's feet on this chick's face. I don't need 4K porn. That's where we've gotten to in the NFL, where it's like this shit is just a little too good of definition at this point. I don't want to see somebody's fucking spine snapping below their skin
ultra HD TV.
Yeah, from 15 different angles.
In super, super slow-mo.
Timothy Burke, who works for Deadspin and does all their screen captures, tweeted out last night that for some reason the halftime Super Bowl, the halftime show was in 2.0 stereo, which they do every year for some reason instead of 5.1 for the game. And then they cut the frame rate in half. It's down to 24 FPS. I don't exactly know what that means, but it's bizarre that the biggest stage, the audio sucks.
Huh.
And that, as you said, the game, you can see the guy's eyes roll back in his head because he's concussed. He just lost 10 years of memory
right.
at the end of his life. But yet, we're basically barely seeing Justin Timberlake, and we can't hear
shit. I am guessing that that is for the reason that if it was in the highest quality sound and highest quality frame rate, that it would show the dancing is not quite as good as it seems to be, and the singing isn't either.
Well, perhaps we can get it the other way around.
Right, that
like
would make more sense.
Half as high quality.
Yeah,
and Justin Timberlake's a pretty good looking guy. I'd like to see him up close.
And then keep the porn back in standard definition. We don't need, I don't need to see the nose hairs on every porn and actor and actress. It's just not necessary.
1080's fine.
Yeah, 1080's good. 1080's good. I like. Yeah, let's be real. Some quality, but not too much quality. Let's talk about the halftime show for a second. I did not care for it.
I'm not a huge Timberlake guy.
I've seen
in general.
Look, I thought JT had a lot of really good hits. He had a great catalog of songs he could perform or whatever.
I like him better as a person than I do as a musician.
I am right there with you. I have not liked much of the music he's put out in the past 10 years. I haven't.
Which
I just haven't.
I feel like he hasn't put out that much either.
He's put out a lot. More than you would think, considering. But I can name like 3 songs. And look, I just don't care. I've seen him perform so many times. I've seen him dance so many fucking times. I just don't care. Nothing about that got me excited. And then he was dressed like a goddamn idiot. The fuck was that outfit?
You don't like the kicks?
No, the kicks were incredible. Those were badass. Other than the fact that Nike put them on sale and they immediately sold out. And I couldn't buy a pair. That was upsetting. But the outfit as a whole was absolutely terrible.
Yeah, someone tweeted out who wore it best, and it was a photo of his shirt, and then the other photo was like a creepy rape van that had like a wolf painted on it.
Yeah.
Because he was wearing like a camo with like a wolf. It was very bizarre.
It was
shirt.
Bad. Look, and I don't claim to like get fashion. I'm wearing sweatpants and a fucking Rockets jersey right now, so I'm not exactly like, one to be able to be in a... I'm not in a position to comment, but that was a terrible fucking outfit.
Yeah, those Houston Astros socks, though, are dope.
These are tight. But those shoes that he had on were sick. Other than, like, there was, he put a photo up on Instagram of him pre-performance, like, down tying his shoes on one knee or some shit, and he had his back foot, like, pressed to where it was creasing the shoe, and sneakerheads were just in his comments losing their fucking minds, like, not about how cool the shoes were, about the fucking crease that he was putting in the back shoe. Anyway, then he danced around, and obviously got worse.
The best part of the performance, though, was probably when he went to the crowd.
Oh, my God.
Freddie Mitchell? You see Fred X?
No.
Fred X was like on the other side of that kid who couldn't get the picture off.
Dude, he did get the picture off.
Or he did, yeah.
Okay, that kid got a terrible rap, and it's his fault because he looks like a goon, and he fucking choked under pressure when he was put on camera. He crushed the selfie. Perfect, flawless execution. But he just had no composure before and after the selfie. He looked totally lost up there. He was like, oh, God. Oh, about TV, like the dancing, oh my God.
Yeah, I believe in that same frame is Fred X.
Wow.
Just trying to get some, firing off some IG photos.
Nice. You got to respect that. Yeah, but overall, I was just like, I don't know.
Ross, I have to disagree with you for a moment. Thought the audio quality was pathetic and poor and inexcusable. He did very little singing. Especially at the beginning. It was mostly dancing. He's a good dancer, whatever. I don't believe his catalog is very strong. I just don't think he's got 8 minutes of good material. And I do agree with you. At least half of the stuff was like 10 years old, and then the other half was that terrible Jamiroquai-ass sounding Can't Fight This Feeling song, which is trash.
His best shit is from NSYNC.
But...
that's
I'm not going to go wade anywhere near that. I just don't think he's a very likable guy. He's very talented. He's a great dancer. doesn't have as many hits as you think.
Also, people are too nostalgic.
Go type in, Justin Timberlake hits and look at the fucking rundown of songs. It's just a bunch of like, the best one is Cry Me a River. That's it. The rest of this is shit.
It's not the other thing about it, it's not exactly stadium rock. This isn't the kind of music that's going to get a whole stadium moving. Cry Me a River isn't a song that makes you want
to
get up and dance from the upper deck.
Halftime show usually isn't that.
Dude, Cry Me a River is a fantastic song.
What was your favorite halftime performance so far, you think?
Sexy last, back? Like, what the fuck? Who went?
Oh, Prince.
Prince?
Oh, God damn, dude. We got to talk about Prince in a second. Go ahead.
Yeah, that's probably the best part of his performance is like a dead man stole a show.
He specifically... Prince, R.I.P., did not want this type of shit to go down after he was dead. Now, the other part of this that many of you may not know is that Justin Timberlake had issues with Prince. They had beef when the man was alive. He wrote a fucking song taking shots at Prince. And then he performs in the Super Bowl and does this Prince tribute. And look, it was cool because it was Minnesota, but... The whole thing is wrong, man. Just leave these dead people alone.
That was one last shot at Prince.
It's fucked up.
Fuck you.
Dude, black people are pissed. Black people that know the whole story with JT and Prince, this is fucked up. And it's a bad look for Justin Timberlake. I did see a Photoshop where it's Dave Chappelle dressed as Prince up on the banner instead of real Prince, which was very funny, but...
Well, you know, it goes back to the issue with Prince that he died without a will.
Yeah.
So there's probably no one from his estate who can be like, you can't fucking do this.
Dude,
you can't use his image like this because there's no one to go to who has, like, the actual say.
It's crazy. It's a serious problem. Like, on the Jay-Z song on his latest album, 444, there's a song called Caught Their Eyes where he talks about the situation with Prince and his estate. And that they sell tickets to walk through Prince's house now and all this shit. And it's depressing. But so I thought the issue had been solved and that Justin Timberlake was not going to do this Prince thing. Or at least if he was going to do a tribute, he wasn't going to show his image. Because that's the issue. Using a dead person's image.
And they use a symbol.
Yeah, man. It was hardcore. It was a lot.
Prince the fuck out.
And this all started with like the Tupac... hologram at Coachella a few years ago. This whole like, where's the line? And I don't know where it is. I'm not claiming to. It probably is a case by case thing. But if I request that you not use my fucking image after I'm dead, and then you go do it anyway, that's just disrespectful.
What else does Minnesota have though?
I don't know. It's not the Olympics. You don't make the halftime show about your city's heritage or like the history of your city. It's, you know what I'm saying? Like in Houston, we didn't like do some fucking Beyonce story time during. I don't have a good.
Well, there's
comparison.
A lot of Houston rappers you guys could have paid homage to.
Yeah, like we do a DJ Screw dedication during the halftime. That's not going to happen. And I get it. Prince is a worldwide icon.
Yeah,
I don't know if
DJ Screw has the mass appeal.
Yeah, I don't think he does. Not quite. But he specifically
that tribute
requested.
Would have also been Purple.
True. That's very true. Thank you. But yeah, I don't know. That vibed wrong with me. Anyway, point being, Dan, I totally agree with you. I'm a Justin Timberlake guy.
Off the court.
Right. I don't really give a fuck about his music or his dancing. No. I'd rather see him on SNL or like in a Lonely Island video.
Yes.
That's where I want to see JT. Or on Jimmy Fallon.
Or with Jessica Biel.
Or, yeah, that ass.
Just parading that ass around.
Good Lord. Cool ass dude. I just have no. There was no excitement for me with that halftime show. Yeah. What else? What else we got about this thing?
Vegas got killed.
Yeah. Every single person I knew, with the exception of like one guy, was on the Eagles.
Rightfully so.
I got to admit to something. I fell asleep before the game, and I slept through betting time, and I woke up like 20 seconds into the first quarter, and I was like, fuck. But fortunately, I got to grab Eagles plus 4.5 live.
Nice.
So I was still there where I wanted to be. It just, that, it wasn't like me. And I felt like an asshole, and I missed all the prop bets.
Yeah, good thing. I wish I did, because I had the money line. I had Eagles plus 5.5. I had the first half line plus 3. I won all those bets, but then I lost all my money on all my prop bets.
Yeah, that's what I did last year.
Like, Nick Foles didn't run for 1.5 yards. Fletcher Cox didn't have 2.5 tackles. He had, like, 1 tackle. Way to show up, Fletcher. Fuck. Shouts to you.
Yeah, that's unfortunate. I took, like, 15 prop bets last year during the Super Bowl and lost literally every single one. I think that was it for me.
I took everybody on the Eagles beat MVP except Nick Foles, because I'm an idiot.
Well, because you assume that the backup quarterback's not going to win MVP of the Super Bowl.
And he didn't pay out that well. It was like...
Yeah, and the odds weren't
3.5 to 1.
Yeah, the odds weren't great.
Yeah, it's like, of course the quarterback. Like that was just dumb on my part.
You gotta love it when Vegas gets killed. I'm surprised we saw what the lines opened at for next season to win the Super Bowl. The Patriots are early favorites. Do they just have to set it at that?
Yeah. Do people actually bet this early?
Yes, dude. People bet the fuck out of this.
I don't believe people bet the early favorites, so maybe I'm wrong. I think you get, like, if you're a fan of the I don't know, who's a terrible team? Cleveland. Like, right. You jump in and bet it now, and then when they make 4 first-round picks and their stock goes up, you feel like you got
value.
They
trade for Nick Foles.
Like, it feels weird to put money on one of the 2 or 3 highest odds,
right,
teams. Our highest pick team.
I don't know how much money gets poured into those. You'd have to go look it up or whatever.
But I mean, I guess the Eagles at 6 to 1. Like, if they have a good off season, Dan says they've got
everyone's
all their starters
locked up
back
to like
2020. Like, conceivably, those odds could get smaller or whatever, get worse for better.
I'm not a futures bet guy. I don't like putting that. Like, I just don't see the excitement. Like, let's say a unit for me is $100, and I decide, all right, I'm going to bet the Eagles to win the Super Bowl next year. How many units do you have to put down for that bet to stay exciting for you for 12 fucking months? You know?
The only way it works is if you're on a big long shot.
Right.
I mean, I don't know what the Eagles were before this season. Right. But if they were 25 to 1, you're feeling pretty good about that bet,
right,
now.
Yeah, putting $100 on Cleveland to win the Super Bowl next year.
You're just giving money for the books to hold in their bank accounts, yes, and get interest on for the next 12 months.
It's a fucking, you're buying a raffle ticket, basically.
At 6 to 1, you might as well just do the money line, like, rollover.
That's what I'm saying.
Going,
like, what, there's money, that money is just being wasted in my mind.
Yeah.
So I don't understand the futures bets, but
that's how I feel right now about my John Wall MVP bet. It's just collecting. It's just like taking credit that I could otherwise use with our bookie.
Yeah, yeah. That's because that's not gonna happen.
No, he's out for the season.
Yeah,
probably.
Yeah. That's that future died. But no, I mean, I am surprised that the Pats are still favorites. Like, opening up, I just don't see how. Like, it seems like it's over. The does it not?
Boston, like, it's over for you.
No, I mean, I think Brady's old. There's obviously discontent within the
organization.
Entire organization.
There's like no plans for the future after Brady.
And it's just kind of, they skated to the Super Bowl in one of the crappier.
They played Tennessee and Jacksonville.
Yeah, like schedules wise, come on.
Like, I like Jacksonville, but come on, that's
like
not,
come
that's
on.
Not how you play in the AFC Championship.
No,
game.
Yeah, they didn't have to do a whole lot to get there, and they still almost won. You got to give them that. I can't fucking believe, dude. The Eagles, especially in the first half, it felt like were such a far superior team.
Couldn't stop us.
Yet they, but you couldn't stop their fucking offense for some reason.
Thank God
they
for Brandon
still,
Graham.
Dude, seriously, they still stayed in there somehow, though. Like, you got to give the Patriots credit. Like, I thought they were about to get the shit kicked out of them a quarter in. I was like, ooh. Because you know how teams get worn down?
Yeah.
And then by the end, it's like the better team is just pounding you. That's like, what it felt like was going to happen.
LeGarrette Blount ran for, like, fucking
dude,
triple the amount of his over-under.
Yeah, he covered it in, like, the first carry.
With, like, one run.
Seriously, that guy is a steamroller. He's a perfect example of me not understanding the Patriots organization. Like, why didn't they want him anymore? I don't get it. I just don't get how they run their thing. And obviously it worked. Look, I'm not, they're the geniuses that have won 5 Super Bowls in the past decade. I'm just some dude with a microphone.
But I think he's up there now for like most touchdowns in like a super like in Super Bowl history. Like I think he's top 5, top 10.
Yeah, I don't know, but
added another one.
It's just crazy to me how they run their shit. I never have any idea what's going on. Trading away the Garoppolo. I just don't get it. It feels like it's over for the Patriots being the sure thing every year, which is why I'm surprised at the 9-2 odds that Vegas opened at. But
even their kicker is like the surest thing in football. Missed the extra point.
He looked like ass. That was beautiful.
Missed a field goal. Yeah, I mean, it was just a weird, weird game. Big day for people in office pools with squares.
No shit. Yeah, it was chaos. What was winning? All in all, I thought it was a look. As I've said many, many times, I was not a fan of this season.
I loved it,
but the Super Bowl was awesome. That was a very fun game. High scoring, ton of offense. It didn't stress me out too much, being kind of, you know, just along for the ride. And the guys that I wanted to win won.
Yeah, which I mean, is I was always on edge the entire time.
Preferable.
I'm still expecting somebody to pull the rug from underneath and say this was a lie and a sham.
Yeah, I don't think it ever sinks in.
But this is our first championship, and now I'll never know what it's like to be.
You're not a loser anymore.
Yeah, we're not losers anymore. So it's a weird transition.
Yeah, the hardest part is adjusting your personal identity, because this is a massive change to your general personality. For the entire city
of Philadelphia and anybody from it. And it's, and a lot of the country doesn't get that. Like, I know it's a very sad part of our existence, but
that's
anyone,
a thing.
But
it
in
very
Philadelphia,
much is.
In Boston, in New York. It's pretty much the Northeast. Like,
your sports teams
define you.
Yeah, that's a very big part of your identity. As a Philly guy, was that you've never won. You're trash.
We're underdogs with chips on our shoulders.
And now you've won a Super Bowl against the greatest dynasty in the history of the NFL. It's like, okay, what now?
And we have Carson Wentz for the next decade.
So, is there any controversy between Wentz and Foles at all? Like, how's this going to play out?
No.
Really?
It can't be.
I mean, that was a hell of a performance, man.
It was, but like, he's never going to play that well again. And
so it's the inconsistency that we've seen from Foles that keeps there from being a quarterback controversy?
No, Wentz is just the real fucking deal. Like, he's the guy.
Yeah, but I'm just saying. It's
definitely going to be weird, man.
So you have to trade him? Like,
we have Foles for a year. We don't even know if Wentz is going to be back in time to start the season. So maybe just keep Foles just to, like,
as long
for the
as
first
you can,
3 or 4 weeks and trade him before the deadline.
As long as you can control the narrative and keep there from being that whole, like, should there be a discussion?
Oh, I'm sure there will be. Like,
because then it's not worth it and you got to get rid of Foles. But or whatever. I don't know. I still can't believe.
I'm just glad he played his dick off, man.
The Eagles won the Super Bowl with Nick Foles.
Nick fucking Foles, man. He's the one that got it done. Not Randall Cunningham. Not Donovan McNabb. Nick fucking Foles.
Nick Foles. Westlake High School has now won 2 Super Bowls.
Somebody in the office, I think Brad was saying that they are now the second high school with 2 Super Bowl champions, which seems high. Because I feel like this has to be the first.
Like, yeah, I don't know what the other.
What other high school has 2 Super Bowl winning quarterbacks?
That's wild. I have no idea. I thought they would certainly be the only one.
You would think, and they're right down the street. I could throw a rock at Westlake right now.
The only other thing to discuss here is obviously football season is over.
Fuck, dude.
There is no more football. And it's going to be a long time until there is football again. And a lot of people get depressed about this. For one, personally, am excited. And
well, you got the Rockets.
It's the first time.
Big part of it.
It's the first time I have had all the teams I get to focus on right now, which are the Rockets midseason and the Astros coming up.
You got pitchers and catchers.
Are good. They're great, even. So life is good. I don't have to worry about the Texans for however many months. I don't have to think about, you know, if Deshaun's going to come back and be 100%. I don't have to the Eagles won, so I've got a team that I enjoy. It's not the Patriots sitting on top with the trophy. You know what I mean? Like, it's everything feels good right now. I like the vibes of the sports world.
What if we become the thing we hate, though?
That doesn't...
I mean, I'm going to be perfectly happy with it, but...
You can't think like that, man.
I know.
You can't think like that.
I've got a quick update. Drew Brees and Nick Foles are the only quarterbacks to go to the same public high school. Eli Manning and Peyton Manning went to the same
count.
High school. So that's
yeah.
the fuck Newman High School in New Orleans. So there's the other one.
That doesn't count. I'm sorry.
That makes so much
count.
Sense.
That's the answer.
Great commercial from Eli.
The best. Can we talk about how trash Super Bowl commercials are now?
I thought there were some good ones.
I mean,
thought there were some
there
good
was
ones.
The Peter Dinklage one, and then there was Eli.
And then there was the Tide commercials. I liked them with the Stranger Things guy.
Oh, that dude is just killing it.
I love that guy, man. He's
that
the
guy
best.
Is just making the most of his 15 minutes.
And really, all you need is like three good commercials, and I'm happy at this point. We've gone entire Super Bowls with just jack shit, where they're just all awful. I thought there were some good ones. I love Bud Light just riding the Dilly Dilly thing into the ground.
There's yeah, like, and then they're pimping out all the water.
Yeah, I miss that.
Third world countries.
I zoned out and missed that.
Yeah, the great tweet was that Budweiser spent $5 million to promote the fact that they gave away like a $500,000 worth of water last year. But whatever.
It's good for image.
It's good. We're happy. Budweiser has a long track history of giving water to disaster areas. The commercial was well done. I just wish they would have been like, put up for the last 100 years, Budweiser's giving out free water for disasters.
Well,
that
we're talking
been
about it though.
More power.
Let's not forget about Matt Damon and Stella Artois.
didn't they already do that?
Yeah, I don't know why they did a repeat commercial.
I missed that one too. I must have been like deep on Twitter because I just stopped.
I forgot
attention.
Before the game, your boy won Man of the Year.
Who?
JJ?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that was kind of a...
That was a given.
I was.
Could
I was,
you bet on that? Were there odds for that?
I'm sure you could bet on it somewhere.
JJ had to be like...
The odds towards the end had to have been... yeah,
minus 2,000.
Unbettable, yeah. It was. You raised $37 million. It's tough
it's hard
to beat.
To beat.
Yeah. But also, he was there. There was a lot of people, a lot of guys that I didn't know. More NFL guys. It's weird because, all right, like in the NBA... The finals.
Nobody goes to the finals.
You don't go to those games if you're an actor. You know what I mean? Like
seven games. I feel like one giant spectacle, it makes more
true,
sense.
True, but like it's also most of those guys don't even watch.
I also think every player in the NFL gets like a couple tickets to the game. And they have their choice. They can go or they can try to sling it.
Oh, really?
Like a third market, yeah.
I think they reserve the right to get two tickets.
Okay.
And I think they outlawed scalping it, but I heard that most players still do it.
Huh. Yeah. That's cool. But yeah, like, you know, back in the day when Durant was on the Thunder and they would get knocked out of the playoffs, like, he didn't watch the rest of the playoffs. That's very standard with NBA guys because it's too... It's upsetting. You're pissed that you're not there, that your team's not there, that you have to wait X amount of months before you get another shot. You don't go to the finals and like hang out courtside and watch this. You know what I mean? So it's odd. In the NFL, everybody kind of embraces the, like you said, it's one big spectacle, this one big event.
You have a media row. Where,
and there's, so yeah, there's so much surrounding
that's what they're
it.
There for. They're either pimping yeah. something out.
There's money
they're
to
getting
be made.
Some interviews done.
A yeah. lot of money to be made, which you got to hand it to the Super Bowl, to the NFL as a whole. The way they've got that thing set up now, that's pretty badass for players. Like, you go hit Minneapolis or whatever, or hit Minnesota, and you make a couple $100,000 on bullshit random advertising crap, even if you're not that important of a player, then you just enjoy the game and then go home.
Then go ride that roller coaster in Mall of America.
Have an off season. Yeah, exactly. You don't really get that with the NBA. It's not a marketing opportunity for the whole rest of the league to enjoy while there's two teams competing for the championship, so... At least I got that going for him.
Just fire off a bunch of hashtag ad tweets.
Well, and it's different. The NBA players, the guys who are really would be in demand, the superstars don't need another $30,000 from Chunky Soup.
Right.
Whereas, like, everybody, the bottom 99% of NFL players could, like, really use an extra $20,000 to go hype Blimpy Subs or whatever
I mean,
they're selling.
You play in the NBA for 15 years, you know, make $40 million and go home. And nobody cares about your career or ever talks about you again. You can be one of the most dominant NFL players in the history of the sport, but only have had a 3-year career, and then you get talked about forever, but you run out of money in 5 years.
Also, I feel like you could talk yourself into getting traded. Like, I think Alex Smith was on the Dan Patrick show one day, and then the next day he's traded to the Redskins. Like,
yeah. Yeah, no, it's a cool setup. Oh,
it is funny, though. I listened to the Jim Rome podcast this week because he always has all the guys from Radio Row, and he does a good job. And he had Jerry Kramer, who played in the Super Bowl one for the Packers. So this is an old fucking guy and played in the Ice Bowl and all this shit. And Rome's been having him on for 30 years, and they had this emotional thing, and, like, he hasn't been in the Hall of Fame. He finally got in this week, and, like, the guy was almost in tears. And then at the end of the interview, he's like, Jim, it's great to talk to you. I cherish this platform. I love talking to you. You're a friend. And I just, you know, it's really important that we talk about blimpy subs.
Right.
That's the ultimate sub to get for the party this week. You get your one, and then he went on the scene. He's like, the woman goes and gets the big 4-foot sub, and you're in the other room drinking whatever you like to drink, and she can come bring your woman can bring you a sandwich. And I was like, this is so good.
That's gold.
I like when they get it out of the way immediately. They're like, all right, let's get this over with first. Let's, what do you do here to promote?
Yeah.
And let's get into the interview. But another good reason people or, like, players show up to the city for the Super Bowl, though, has to be the parties, right?
Oh, yeah.
That's the major reason.
Well, and that's all. It's essentially like a South by Southwest type of deal or, yep, like a whatever, because it's every brand is there throwing down money on these big parties. So if you're an NFL guy, you get to go anywhere you want for free and just get shit-faced. Speaking of shit-faced, Kevin Hart. Kevin had a – I didn't realize he was from Philly.
Big Philly guy. He did his last special, I think, he taped in Lincoln Financial Field.
Well, he got too fucked up at the game, which is hilarious. I'm pretty sure he just got caught, like, cheating on his wife and stuff. So he might still kind of be a mess, but he was shit-faced. He tried to get on the stage when the only people on the stage were the owner, the commissioner of the league.
Nick Foles,
Carson Wentz, and, like, one security guard. For some reason, he thought he could push his way up there.
Hey, man.
I don't know what he was planning on doing.
That man sells out arenas, okay?
No, I get it. I get it. And, I mean, I get that he was very, very excited. Then later, he's being interviewed on, like, NFL Network or whatever channel it was, and he accidentally dropped an F-bomb on live TV. Then he realized, like, he was slurring his ass off. He's shit-faced. He realizes, like, he needs to just get out of there. So he, like, drops the mic on the table and turns to, like, run. Like, it was fucking hilarious.
He's like, bail.
Yeah, he knew he had to get out. But, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I just want to thank all the people who sent their kind words through Twitter and Instagram. 2018 is the year, Dan.
It's
only February.
Championship and a Super Bowl.
I was telling Mike I should probably just off myself now. I'll never get better than this.
Like, well, happy, I mean, don't do that.
Happy suicide?
Don't do that. That's not a thing. Happy suicide.
I've peaked.
You just close out your tab while it's still good.
Just go out on top.
Oh, God. Well, congrats again, Dan. I'm very happy for you.
Thanks,
and,
man.
And happy for all of us, for real. That was a huge win for everywhere in the United States. It's not New England.
It's weird. When your team wins a championship, that how many people congratulate you from, like, the woodwork?
Right.
Like, I just had, like, my ex-girlfriend from college just hit me up on Instagram.
Like, you didn't do anything.
Congratulating me.
Like, you didn't actually do anything.
No.
But it's beautiful because we take all this credit. And we get congratulated by the other humans.
It's a good feeling.
It makes all the sense in the world and absolutely no sense at the same time.
It makes living in a city that could give less of a shit about the Super Bowl worth it.
There you go.
Yeah.
Hey, if you want to support the show, hit up manoutfitters.com. We've got a promo code you can use to get 15% off any order of $150 or more, including free shipping. That code is UNDERBOY. All caps, one word, UNDERBOY. We just got all of our spring stuff in on manoutfitters.com. There's a ton of good stuff up on the site right now. Get on. Warm weather's coming. Grab yourself some new swim trunks, some shirts, some hats, or if you want,
check out that new Spring RG line.
Ooh, it's beautiful.
It's the best thing we've ever put out.
It is. All available on manoutfitters.com as well. The whole purpose of the site is that we find all the best brands in the world, then we get their best products and put them on Man Outfitters so you don't have to shop so hard. Use the code UNDERBOY, save some money, stock up for spring and summer. We're going to take a break. We'll be back to talk about golf and the NBA in a minute.
Hello, small people, big people, people of all sizes that like to lift weights and get fit. This is the SupsDog Podcast.
We're a fitness and lifestyle podcast for people that just want to better themselves until happy hour.
Listen, if you don't want to know all the know-how, but just want to know how to get big, tune in every Wednesday and hear Dan and myself, Jake Goldman, talk about fitness.
On Grand X Labs.
Tune in and subscribe.
All right, we're back. First, what, Golf Waste Management Open, Gary Woodland
beat Chez Reavie
on the first playoff hole to win for the first time since 2013. Good for you, Gary.
It was a good tournament. People went low.
Yeah, there was a lot of good competition.
This is my favorite tournament of the year, and every year I say we should go to this tournament, and every year I never make it
out. It's your favorite tournament of the year.
It's one of my favorite, yeah.
I mean, it's a fun-ass tournament. Yeah.
Shout out to all the Instagram models who are at this tournament.
All the thoughts.
My Instagram stories feed is filled with hot babes at the tournament.
They were out Shouts there just, head, just hunting for golf penis, you know?
Our graphic designer and former D1 athlete football player for Northern Arizona, Hayden, went on Saturday.
Nice.
With his ASU girlfriend, so.
Oh, must be nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. In the NBA, Red Panda had her unicycle stolen. If you don't know who Red Panda is, which I bet you most people still don't.
Nah.
I feel like you got to be a pretty hardcore NBA and or social media person.
I think you just got to be on the internet.
Right.
If you're on Twitter, Instagram, you've seen her.
I bet you a lot of people don't know who Red Panda is.
She's the Asian chick that throws bowls on her head.
And plates. And she does the unicycle, and she has sticks, and she balances plates and bowls, and she stacks them and throws them and juggles, and she goes all around the country, goes to all these different NBA games. Whenever she accidentally breaks a plate, it's like national news. She's fantastic, but her name is Red Panda.
And she's had this unicycle for like 30 years.
And some asshole stole it. So the Warriors bought her a new one.
How do you steal a unicycle? I feel like that's a pretty obvious...
You know what? I don't know anything about the situation. I don't know Red Panda. I can't speak for her character. But this seems like a pretty genius PR move, a publicity stunt.
You don't think there was some type of heist to steal Red Panda's unicycle?
Maybe she didn't get her unicycle stolen. Maybe she just wanted a new one, and she wanted it for free, and she knew that some team would shell out for a new one. Now she's got two.
She's like, I need an upgrade.
She needed a practice unicycle, you know.
We're Red Panda truthers here.
Yeah, we are. Just as far as power rankings go, not much has changed since last week, really. The Rockets, Warriors, Raptors, Celtics, pretty much all the same top teams as before.
I'm just excited to see the Sixers try to make a playoff push now.
I'm just excited to see how badly the rest of this season goes for the Thunder. That's really the thing I'm most invested in the NBA is the failure of the Oklahoma City Thunder.
Was it a week or a few weeks back you were talking about how Westbrook has never really taken a true L? I think he did against Utah a few games back. He pushed the fan after he got a buzzer beater right in his face.
That wasn't his fault. That dude was on the court. I mean, I don't know. He's such a weird thing to me at this point because, like, I love Westbrook, but I fucking hate the media perception of Westbrook and the constant dick riding. Like, they'll lose a game by 24 points, but Westbrook gets a weak-ass, like,
triple-double.
12-point, 10-rebound, 11-assist triple-double. And they post on all the Instagram accounts, on the Twitter accounts, like, Westbrook gets his 20th triple-double of the season. They don't say shit about the fucking actual result of the game. It's bizarre.
Triple-doubles are for the birds.
Nobody gets that kind of treatment except for him, so it's really weird. And I'm a huge Rockets guy. I love James Harden, and I don't feel like he gets enough credit, so that plays into it very much. And point being, I'm here for this Thunder derailing failure. They're like one game from the 9 seed now. They got Carmelo Anthony, Paul George, and Westbrook just running around like idiots. These guys can't play defense for shit. I'm here for this failure. And I'm sorry to the Thunder fans, but...
Deadline's coming up, right?
Yeah.
Does Paul George get dealt
as a rental? I don't think so, man. He's the one that I think is... At least from what he's expressed in interviews, it seems like he might actually be along for the ride to like sign there longer term.
Is LeBron going to force Cleveland to like deal that Brooklyn pick and then peace?
That's the other thing I'm all in on this Cleveland disaster. Like the team is for sale. I think anybody with a brain is at 95% sure LeBron's going to leave next season.
He's going to leave and he's going to force them to use that Brooklyn pick to get in.
He built this team. This is all his fault, but he doesn't have to take any of the blame. It's beautiful. The way he set his career up is flawless. Like, he cannot be, he's like unflappable at this
he's
point.
He's got the 2010 All-Star team.
Look at these old fucks. We just beat the Rockets beat the absolute piss out of the Cavs at home.
That was fantastic.
And
Friday night?
On national TV, which was good. Yeah. So I was watching that game, there was different points where I was like, God damn, I forgot they have Derrick Rose. He like missed a layup, and I was just like, who are these guys? Like, this is the most random hodgepodge of fucking players.
They have Dwayne Wade.
They got D. Wade, Derrick Rose, J.R. Smith. Like, it's just a random crew. Isaiah Thomas, who is not the Isaiah Thomas of 2017.
No.
Which is depressing.
He got hip surgery. Did he get shorter because of that?
I don't know. He's not right, though.
Trade deadline is Thursday, by the way.
Damn, so that'll be exciting. But they got carved up, dude. I mean, they might still make the finals because the East stinks, but they will get rolled by whoever they play.
Which is nice. LeBron's been in what, like
seven straight?
Yeah,
I believe. Yeah,
between the Heat
enough,
and the
enough.
Cavs.
It'll be interesting to see where he goes. I mean, the LeBron show rolls on. He's still easily a top three player any way you look at it.
Yeah.
And he's got a lot of years under his belt now. It's the whole reason you don't like him and the whole reason a lot of people don't like him is what makes him so interesting to me now. Because it's like, how does the rest of this dude's career unfold? He's done the most bizarre shit you could do.
I respect him, though.
He built super teams. He won a championship, multiple championships in Miami. He's won multiple MVPs. He won a championship back for his hometown in Cleveland. But he's always been this whiny bitch that makes everybody do everything he wants to do.
Is it weird that I acknowledge that he's the greatest player of all time
and that you hate him?
He is maybe a top two player next year, but I don't want him on these Sixers.
No, I really don't think that's that weird. Because here's the thing. Even as as a Rockets fan, you'd be an idiot not to accept LeBron James onto your team. But
Rockets are one of the favorites.
You're an idiot if right now part of you isn't like, I don't know, do we really need all that drama? You know what I mean? It's like, it changes your whole franchise. You become LeBron's franchise.
Yeah, and it also feels like a cheat. Like you're cheating. Almost.
Right. Like it's not,
like a video game where you trade for LeBron James.
Right. Yeah.
It's like this doesn't feel right.
It's bullshit. Like suddenly, you're a Celtics fan, so you play NBA 2K and you trade to have LeBron on your team.
You turn off fair trades.
Right. It's like there's something dirty about it, and I don't know if you have to take it.
You deal like Robert Covington for LeBron.
Right. Like, you have to take it, but part of you deep down, you have to admit, is like, I don't know.
No disrespect to Rocco, by the way.
Sure. That's it in the NBA. That's it in everything, really.
Yeah, I think we went over an hour.
We had a good football season. We had fun.
Can I just give a quick shout?
Go for
sure.
I went to the Texas OU game on Saturday. Texas actually beat Oklahoma.
Is this a basketball game?
Yes. Trae Young is worth seeing live. He is an incredible passer. He didn't shoot it very well, but he's incredible. He's a very exciting player. The reason I mentioned the game, though, it was the single best halftime show I've ever seen at a sporting event. It was something called the OLAT Dogs, which is something they apparently won America's Got Talent. And
what do they
it
do?
Was fucking tight.
What do they do?
They had like six dogs, and they did a lot of jumping around on their back on their hind legs, like standing up straight like people, sick. And then jumping like bunnies.
Oh, yeah, I've seen this.
And
yeah.
This shit was awesome. And I normally, UT has the worst halftime shows. It's normal. Like, I feel like 80% of the games are just like 8 and 9 year olds dribbling basketballs, pips,
yeah,
players
exciting.
In action, or
that's
players
not,
in progress.
That's
and
not
it was it normally trash. Olat Dogs, top notch.
Now, was this
them.
Your, like, 100th game to attend or some shit? I saw an Instagram post.
No, that was just the guy who runs Burn Orange Nation.
Thought it was funny?
Used to work here and used to write under a fake name, so I won't out him here. But
oh.
He was just taking a shot at me because he's a big fucking goober.
Okay, I thought that was for real. I was like, there's no way you've attended 100 straight games. We would know that. That'd
I have
be an
not.
Insane streak.
I'm also not a lifetime Longhorn.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway. I didn't know what that was about.
Yeah.
We've got a hotline. We'll play the best calls on our Thursday show, which are we even having a Thursday show this week? Maybe. Well, maybe. If not, we'll play them next Monday.
I feel like we should probably do something to get Dylan's reaction from the Super Bowl this week. So maybe a short episode or something.
He could tell us about the experience. 800-392-6344 is our hotline. 800-392-6344. Call, ask us a question. Give Dan a congratulations. Just say your name and where you're from and leave your voicemail. And we'll play some calls next episode.
Man, that had to be huge for Dylan, noted Cowboys fan.
I think he's probably very upset. All the Cowboys, dude, that's the other thing. I fucking hate the Cowboys, and their fans are so pissed.
Oh, yeah.
They're so pissed, dude.
They would just always pull that Trump card out, like, oh, well, how
you
many
never
Super
won
Bowls
a Super
you
Bowl?
Have?
Yeah.
We would always be like, oh, how many playoff games have you won in the last 20 years? And those
right.
Are like, they just scoreboard Super Bowls.
Very upset. All the Cowboys fans that I have as friends are not happy. So shouts to them, you salty, salty motherfuckers. Shouts to Philly. Don't burn it down.
It's already burnt down.
Very historic city. We need those monuments and shit.
Save the Betsy Ross house.
Those are American history. Please stop eating
Independence Hall.
Stop eating poop. That's not a thing. We don't.
There's plenty of fine cuisine in the city of Philadelphia.
And there's
don't
plenty of other
poop.
Stuff to do. Set couches on fire, flip cars, steal a police horse and ride it. Don't eat poop. Don't eat poop.
That's a Cleveland thing. What
is it?
Yeah, I mean, after they won their NBA championship, I remember somebody picking up a turd and
eating it.
Yeah.
What is it about the humans that we think? We've conquered the sports world. Let's do outrageous things like eat poo.
It's because we have all these police horses
pooping
called
everywhere.
Into action, so they shit everywhere. And then I guess I don't know what.
It's like, look at me, look how crazy I am. I'm eating poop.
Yeah, you go from climbing poles to eating dung.
Like the world is so upside down. Philly won a Super Bowl. We have to eat poop now. I don't know what that's about.
Last night. All the videos I saw were Purge-like. So
yes. Apocalyptic. Like, that's what's going to happen when the government finally falls.
I'm ready for it.
And it's just chaos.
Bring it on.
We're just eating poop and riding stoplights, and
it ain't getting better than this, so bring on the asteroid, bring on
yeah,
the
you're
nukes.
Done.
I don't care.
That is another weird thing. Our reaction after winning a championship is that, yeah, I could die now.
I'm happy.
Like, that was it. That was all we wanted.
I am no longer afraid of death.
A bunch of men who play a game for a living to win and up for us to take credit for it.
Yeah, my 90-year-old grandfather's in a home right now just waiting to die, and he can finally do it because he just saw the Eagles
that
win
was
the championship.
It.
So right. He'll probably croak within the next 24 hours.
Good for him.
Shouts to you,
shouts
Grandpa.
To, I assume I'll just pretend he was a waterman too.
He was. He was the first waterman.
Unbelievable.
I was going to be a third generation waterman, but my mom wouldn't allow it.
Should have been a waterman, Danny. All right. Subscribe on iTunes. Give us a 5-star rating. Write a review. Thanks for riding with us this football season. We appreciate it. We had a lot of fun. Follow us on Twitter at Backdoor Cover. Follow me, Ross, on all social media at WR Boland. Dan, where can you be followed?
You can follow me at Dan_Regester on Twitter and just Dan Regester on Instagram and Snapchat. And follow SupsDog on Instagram and Instagram and Twitter. That's SupsDawg. Post some funny gym stuff, videos, memes, whatever. And then we have the podcast that we release every Wednesday.
On Grand X Labs.
So stay tuned for every episode that we release on Wednesday.
Subscribe to Grand X Labs and check out SupsDog. Fitness is funny.
We like
is that y'all's slogan?
No,
copyright trademark.
Not.
Should be, right?
$20, you can use it. Also, check out the Ross Bolin podcast. That's it. We're done here. Dylan will be back next episode, hopefully.
Who knows?
Philadelphia.
Big Dick Nick. Fly Eagles fly.
Peace.